Good morning. Isn't it great to be here today? Lots of new faces out here I see, and it's great to have you visiting with us today. We appreciate it very, very much. Hope that you go away from here today feeling like that you have been blessed in worshiping the Lord with our family here. And hope you'll come back and be with us again. A couple of things to tell you about. You know, we started the new year, and we always challenge folks to do the daily Bible reading, and we have in the back there in the notebook, there's the sheets back there for that, for you to, you know, check off and know which the daily readings are and so forth. However, for some people, we have speed readers. We have those people that like to read through the Bible 8 or 10 or 9 times, whatever, you know. Anyway, for you who want to do a 90-day challenge, okay, we have these Bible reading challenges out here on the table. You can pick one of those up. If you'd like to do that challenge, read through the Bible in 90 days. So that's another option for you if you'd like to do that. Last Sunday night, we had our first Sunday night for the Master, and it went really, really well. We sent out 23 cards this past week from that, and the response that I've gotten from that has been very, very positive, very good. And so thank you, those of you who are able to be here with us. I encourage you to plan, if you were not here with us, plan to be here first Sunday of February, that Sunday night for round two of Sunday Night for the Master. Tonight, we will be doing our Bible study, our regular discussion Bible study, based on our lesson this morning. Program note for you, next Sunday will be our first time doing our open forum format. So, what I'd like to encourage you to do is, if you have any particular questions that you would like to for us to discuss, for the elders to discuss and answer for you, if you would write those questions down and give them to one of the elders so that we would be able to be prepared to discuss those things. However, we will take, you know, questions, you know, right then at that time. But we're going to try that and just kind of see how it goes. Encourage you to come back for that open forum next Sunday evening for that. We're talking about experiencing God. And this is a new study that we're beginning today, and it's going to go on for, you know, I don't know how long. You know, I've got several lessons already planned, and we're going to kind of continue with this. But it's going to be for, you know, a couple of months at least that we're going to be focusing on experiencing God. Today we're going to talk about experiencing God through His name and how important and how significant the name of God really is. And you know, the whole idea here is of getting to know God from a different perspective, so to speak. You know, in the text that Chuck read for us as we began this morning, Jesus identifies eternal life as what? Knowing God and His Son. You see, that is eternal life. But what we need to understand is that there's a big difference between knowing someone and knowing about someone. You see, there's a huge difference between those two. You see, relationships, I am convinced of this, relationships are built by experience, not just simply knowledge. You know, it's really easy to know a lot of things about someone, but you never really get to know that person unless you spend time with them. That's experience. We have experience with someone, that's when we get to know that person. You see? You can go through the history books and you can read a lot of information about any historical figure. Okay? But if that person's already dead, you're never going to get to know that person. You know about them, but you don't know them. You see? But the really cool thing is that with God, it's different. Not only can we read about God, but we can also get to know God by our experiences with Him. And that's what we're going to be focusing on, is getting to know God through our experience. You see, experience, I believe, really is the best teacher. You see? And if we want to get to know God, then we need to focus on the experiences that we have with Him. Now, the really good thing about this is how it fits so well into what we're trying to focus on with outreach and evangelism is that the more we experience God, then guess what we have? We have things that we can then share with other people. In other words, we have experiences that we can tell other people. We can do that, you know, that bad word that we've talked about before, witnessing to people? Yes, we can do that. We can witness to other people about our experiences with God. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. When He sent His disciples out into the world, what was it that He told them? You will be My... That was so weak. You will be My witnesses, thank you, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth, you see? And so what we're going to be focusing on is experiencing God and getting to know Him by our experiences so that we can take those experiences and share them with other people, and especially as we start out with the people who are in our own Jerusalem. Okay, so let's talk about getting to know God by His name. You see, we begin with the question, what's in a name? Okay, and the reality is there's an awful lot in a name, isn't there? In biblical times, names really meant something, a lot more than they do today. You see, we use names today typically just as a label, right? You know, I'm Russ, this is Jerry, that's Ray. You know, that's how we label people so we can identify them. But in biblical times, names were attached to people and to events, both of those things, because of the meaning of that particular person or the event that surrounds that particular person. And the same thing is true of the name of God, you see. When we look at different events, people are connected to an event by the name. For instance, the name of Samuel. You know, that Hannah prayed to God and asked God to give her a son. And God answered her prayer, you see. And upon answering that prayer, Hannah named her son, 1 Samuel 1:20, named her son Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." And the interesting thing about that is that the word Samuel, or the name Samuel, sounds like the Hebrew word for heard of God. And that's how he got his name. You see, so there's this connection between names and events. Okay? And again, the same thing is true of God. Now, when we look at the fact that Jesus asked the Father before He went back to heaven, before He went to the cross even, He asked the Father to protect His disciples. That's who? Us, okay? He asked Him to protect us by what? You remember the reading we had? Chuck read it. The power of His name. You see, John 17 and verse 11. Protect them by the power of Your name. So, what kind of power does the name of God really have? And how does that relate to our experiences with Him? Well, you know, the name of God... Names, He has a lot of names. The names of God carry a tremendous amount of special meaning. In the Hebrew, the word El, okay, E-L, basically refers to God, just the idea of God. And it can be God, you know, the God, or it can be any God. It's the word for God, okay? But then the word El Elyon is the word that Melchizedek used to refer to the Most High God, you see. So there's a special name that designates Jehovah as the Most High God. And then there is Elohim. And that particular word conveys all the concept of what we typically think of God or of a deity. You see, people would use that word Elohim. And then there is Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, His name is Yahweh. Yahweh combined with some kind of a descriptive gave that a special meaning. Yahweh Solomon, in other words, is the name that Gideon gave to God, which means God of peace. You see? So the name of God is very important as to how someone connects God with some kind of an experience that they have had with Him. Let's look at a couple of different examples. First of all, go over to Genesis chapter 22. We find, and you'll see in your notes there, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, okay? I know enough Greek to be dangerous, and I know even less Hebrew, okay? So if that tells you anything, all right? But the word or the name Yahweh Yireh means the Lord provides. Where did that come from? Well, we go to the story of Abraham when God called upon Abraham to take his son Isaac up onto the mountain and sacrifice him there. Okay? Now, as they're going up the mountain, they're getting ready to go. Abraham, he gets the wood and he gets his fire and he leaves his servants behind. And he and Isaac are going up the mountain. And Isaac says to his father, "Father, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham says to his son, "God will provide the lamb for the sacrifice." Now understand that when he told his son that, Abraham was going up that mountain knowing who the lamb for that sacrifice was already designated to be. It was his very own son. And there Abraham goes up the mountain. He gets to the top and he builds an altar. And he binds his son and he places him on that altar. And he prepares to sacrifice his son. An angel of the Lord comes to him and stops him. The angel says, "Now I know you will not withhold your son, your only son, from me." And there in the thicket, Abraham saw a ram. And he took that ram and he sacrificed it to the Lord. And what the Scriptures tell us in this text is, look in verse, let me find it here, my eyes are not focusing right. Abraham named that place the Lord, this is verse 14, he called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." He named that place Yahweh Yireh. The Lord provides. You see, what was happening here is that Abraham was having an experience with God that challenged his faith. Abraham had already believed in God enough that when God called him and said, "Abraham, I want you to pack your stuff. I'm getting ready to send you to a land that I'm going to show you." Well, Abraham knew exactly where God was going to send him, right? Absolutely not. He didn't tell him where. He just said, "I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you." And Abraham went. And he had that experience with God. And he had the experience where God came to him and said, "Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to make your name great. And through you, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed." And Abraham had an experience where he tried to help God fulfill that promise, didn't he? You see? And finally, God came to him and said, Abraham, here's how this is going to happen. A year from now, you're going to have a son. And you remember Sarah, when she heard this, what did she do? She laughed, you see. And Abraham had that experience that God fulfilled that promise that he gave him a son. And now, about 12 years later, here is Abraham going up the mountain with that very son that God had given to him. The very son that God had told him was going to be the fulfillment of the promise that he had made to him. And he goes up that mountain, and his very son, who is going to be the sacrificial lamb, says to him, Father, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where is the lamb? And Abraham couldn't tell his son that he indeed was going to be the lamb. He went to the top of that mountain, and he experienced, because of his faith, he experienced God's provision. And what a story Abraham had to tell from there. Because of that experience, Abraham's faith grew tremendously. And indeed, he did become the father of many nations. And later on, John the Baptist, in pointing to Jesus, would use the very same wording when he said, Behold, the sacrificial lamb of God's providing. What an awesome experience to know that when God calls upon us to do something, that He is going to provide what we need to accomplish what He has called us to do. Now, the scary thing about that is that takes away an awful lot of our excuses, doesn't it? You see? God is a God who provides for us what we need to do, what He's called us to do. Let me ask you to think about it this way. What mountain climbing experiences have you had in your life lately? You know, climbing that mountain with something going on in your life that was puzzling, perhaps. Something that maybe you know God has called upon you to do, but you don't know how God is going to work this out. You know that His Word tells you to do this, but you don't see how possibly that's going to help the situation. Any of you have been up mountains like that before? Yeah. And perhaps all the way up the mountain you're trying to figure out, how is this going to work? How is this going to happen? Does God really expect me to do this? And the real experience comes when you reach the top of the mountain and you do what God has told you to do, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how unrealistic it seems, no matter how unreasonable it seems, that you do what God told you to do. And then you experience God's provision. Give you what you need to accomplish what He has called upon you to accomplish. Let me give you an example. Some of you were a part of this almost 30 years ago when Cindy and I packed all of our stuff that we had and we moved out to Ohio Valley College to go to school. And when we did that, we didn't have a whole lot of money. You know, things were tight. I was a student, working student. She was working in the student center. And Katie, at 8 months old when we went there, was just being loved by everybody there. You know, that was the cool part. You know, I remember one day going to the mailbox. I'll never forget this. And at that particular time, we had zero money in our bank account. Absolutely none. I didn't have enough money to buy diapers for my baby. I didn't know where I was going to get any money because it was still some time away from the next payday. And I went to the mailbox just to get my mail. And I opened it up and there was a card in there, a little note from a friend of mine. Some of you might remember Hoyt Williams from out in Wise, Virginia. Show you how God provides for us. Fellow that I met out there when I was out there on the coal strike as a state trooper. Had this little card in there with a check for $40. Actually, it wasn't a check, it was cash. And the little note was very brief and it said, Russ, reached in my pocket and I found this money. I figured you needed it more than I did. That's God's provision. You see? That's how God provides for us. He truly is the God who provides for our needs. And what He calls upon us to do is to have faith. To do what He has told us to do. And allow Him to provide what we need to accomplish what He has called upon us to do. There's another name of God that is vitally important to us, that we need to get to know this name and to know God by this name. See? And that name is Yahweh Nisse. And that name means the Lord is my banner. And we find this name over in Exodus chapter 17. If you turn over there, beginning in verse 8, the Amalekites had come and were attacking the Israelites. And so Moses sent Joshua out with the army to fight against them. Aaron and Hur, along with Moses, went up to the top of this hill. And while they were there, Moses raised his staff, the staff of the Lord, he called it. And as long as Moses held that staff up, the Israelites were defeating the Amalekites in battle. But if Moses lowered that staff, then the battle would turn towards the Amalekites. And so Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side stood there and raised up and held Moses' arms up until the night fell. And Israel was successful and they defeated the Amalekites in battle. And the Scriptures tell us here in chapter 17, verse 15, Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." Now, in order to really understand and appreciate what that is all about, you have to go back and understand what a banner was used for in battle. You see, a banner was used at the forefront of the battle. It let people know whose army was who. And it was at the front, you see. So everybody knew whose army that was. And Moses, on this occasion, says, you know what? This is the Lord's army. This is the Lord's army. And we have Him as our banner. The Lord is my banner. Now, let me ask you this. We've talked an awful lot about spiritual warfare. And the fact that daily we go into battle with Satan. What do you think about the experience of knowing God as your banner as you go into battle against Satan each day in your life? Okay? Having that experience, to know that as you go into battle, that God is at the head of you, that He is leading you in that battle as your banner to fight on your behalf. What an awesome experience to know. I know it is for me, that when I'm in the midst of spiritual warfare, I'm not in it by myself. Because if I were, I'd lose every time. And so would you. But with God as our banner, and to know God in that way, and to experience His power as He fights on our behalf, what a tremendously empowering and encouraging way to go through that battle. That's experience. That's knowing God by experience. When Satan is coming along and saying, hey, guess what? I'm here today, and you and I are going to tussle. You can raise your banner. Jehovah God. You can raise Him and say, yeah, we're going to tussle, but guess who I've got out front fighting on my behalf? And you can't beat Him. See? What an awesome, awesome experience. A way to know God that way. So we need to ask the question, do you have God as your banner as you're going into battle? Because as we've talked about so many times before, it's not a question of if you're going into battle. It's happening. And if you don't realize that, then you've already lost the battle. See? The question is, are you taking God with you as your banner? See? And experiencing His power to help you to be successful as you fight against Satan. Have you called upon Him to lead you in battle? See? That's what having Him as a banner is all about. See? That He's the one who's leading you in battle. You see, those kinds of experiences, those mountaintop experiences, and those battle experiences that we have, when we learn to rely on the name of God in those ways, those are experiences that not only help to grow and increase our faith, they help us to get to know God, not just by reading these stories about Him. See, I don't want you to just go away from here today and go, oh, wow, those were cool, two really cool stories that Russ told today. No, I want you to go out and look in your own life and see how you experience the same things that God did with Abraham and with Moses and the Israelite people. And make that connection to your life and to see how God is your provider and how God is your banner in your life. And when you get to know God in that way, then you're really on to something. Because then you're getting to know Him, not just about Him. You see, anybody can read the Bible stories, and they can know about these things. But the challenge that I give to you today is, and through all of these lessons that we're going to be focusing on, is for you to look at how God is active in your life and learning from the experience to know God in a whole different way. And then you've really got something to share with other people. Perhaps maybe there's a mountaintop experience going on in your life right now. Or maybe there's a spiritual warfare that you're in the midst of that's really giving you a hassle. Or maybe something else entirely that doesn't relate to either one of those things, but some kind of experience that you're having right now that might perhaps cause you to call upon God for His power, His strength to help you to deal with that. Great opportunity for you to take advantage of the gathering of your brothers and sisters here today to find that strength and encouragement. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian yet, the same kinds of things are going on in your life, but yet you have not been able to connect those things to the power of God necessarily, to where you've learned to rely upon Him. The opportunity is there for you this morning, if that's maybe where you are, to give your life to Christ, to have Him be Lord of your life, and begin walking in a new life with Jesus. If you're not a Christian and you desire to become one, you can do that right now. You need to call upon Jesus as your Lord. You need to repent of the sins that are separating you from God. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning, if you're ready to make that commitment. Confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Have Him begin living in you. If you're ready to do that, then all you got to do is come up and let me know. Ted, you're going to be in the back. Ted will be in the back to receive you. If you'd like to have a private prayer with him or talk with him about something, I'll be up here in the front to receive you. And the invitation of the Lord is open to you. Let's stand together and sing.